My name's John, I'm an addict. People have been saying to me, you know of us, and I'm like, no, I've done a share here before, and second time around, it ain't no different. I'm just as nervous, and I've drunk a bit too much coffee, I think, and it's kind of on me. I thought I'm going to have an out-of-body experience or something. Yeah, it's nice. The good news is I've stayed clean since the last time, and I've been asked back, so I've got a bit more experience and hopefully a bit more of a message, and I think I'm sitting a bit too far away from work. It's been a long journey for me, you know, to get to where I am today. When I first got clean, my mate Guy, he just come into recovery. He picked up 18 years a couple of weeks ago. I was clean when he got clean, and I ain't been clean that long, do you know. I've had a lot of relapses. A lot of pain, a lot of physical pain, and a lot of trauma. And it took me a long time to get recovery because I was never willing to change. I was never willing to work a programme, and much to my detriment, you know. I've been alright about doing this, and I woke up this morning, it's been on me. I've been obsessed about what I'm going to say. Am I going to be alright? I've got a cold sore in my mouth. That's like, if I was sitting out there, I'd be focusing on the cold sore, not the song. That's the reality of it. But it's been bad. It's been on me all day. It ain't been nice. I've had anxiety, and I found my sponsor, and I'm obsessed. And I'm like, he said, what about? And I'm like, I don't know what to wear. And I'm out shopping thinking, this is the truth. He's sitting at the back there, you know. This is the truth. It's like, my head goes anything to, like, take the focus of what I'll be doing here. And I'm kind of thinking, if I get something nice, I'll do a better share. And that kind of, I relate that back to when I was a kid, and it was like, if I had a nice pair of trainers, I'd run faster. If I had a nice pair of football boots, I'd kick the ball better, you know. And that was what my using was like, you know, my addiction. And if I could just find better drugs, you know, if I had a better girlfriend, if I had a better place to live, if I had more money, things would be all right. And the reality is that ain't all right. I've learned I can't fix an internal condition with external stuff. I've tried and I've failed miserably. You know, I've had to come into recovery this time and try and fix an internal condition, you know, in a spiritual way, with a higher power, with the help of the fellowship. And this time, hopefully, I think I've got it. I've got it for today, I suppose. That's a cliche, isn't it? But something's clicked, and I've worked a programme, and I've gone through the steps, and I try to do the best I can each day, you know what I mean? On a good day, that's all right. On a bad day, spirituality goes out the window, you know? Example of that last year. On a good day, if something dishonest is about to happen, I'll own up to it. On a bad day, I won't. And last year, I was going away, and I'd had a row with my girlfriend, and I was in the shop, and I bought a T-shirt and a pair of shorts, and they didn't scan the shorts, and I'm feeling in the bag to make sure there ain't a bell on them, you know, because I've got the pots. And anyway, I left the shop without paying for the shorts, and I didn't feel too good about it. Anyway, the first time I washed them, I got caught in a washing machine and got ripped to shreds, you know what I mean? I kind of see that as karma. You know, on another day, someone will give me too much change and I'll own up to it. It depends what's going on for me. And I don't proclaim to be perfect, and I don't proclaim to work the perfect programme. You know, I do the best by me, and like I say, some days are different. But, yeah, it's been a journey this time, you know. Like I say, I've gone through this. I've shared this last time. I've made an amends to my dad, and it's been ongoing, and he's in ill health, and it's continued to be ongoing over the last 2 years. And so it's taken a lot of my time, and sometimes I don't want to do it, and the relationships just blossom with him. And like, one of the biggest things that's happened to me, which was a privilege to me, he gave me a key to his front door last year, you know, somewhere I wasn't allowed. No matter what, I couldn't even get in the gate. They'd call the police, the family, protect the house, and I wasn't allowed nowhere. And last year, he gave me a key, and it was an honour, you know. I can come and go as I please. He ain't worried about things going missing, and I just let myself in, let myself out, and it feels nice to be trusted again. And it's only through working a programme and getting to a point, you know what I mean, getting to step nine and making amends and sitting there and doing it, and it was a beautiful thing, you know. I come in here this time not knowing. I used to Well, I've had experience of NA and the 12 steps and 12-step treatment centres. I thought I knew everything before, and I was kind of unteachable. And this time I come in and I was like, I don't know. And I've learnt it's all right not to know, you know. If I don't know, then I remain teachable. And I've had to learn along the way. And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not, and sometimes it's difficult. And I've learnt to trust in men and get their experience. And there's people in here that kind of inspired me when I come about and reached out to me and supported me. And I still see them people today. And NA's given me a life that I've never had. You know, it's given me relationships, it's given me my family back. It's given me a bit of direction, it's given me a bit of hope. I'll get a bit of inspiration from here. All this stuff that I've never had. And, like I say, it's been a while. I have my moments, and I remember last year, I was doing, like, at the end of last year, I was doing, like, one meeting a week, a bit of service once a month in a H&I and a detox, and my life became quite busy. I had the relationship, I had the family, I was working. I started doing the knowledge and all that, and I was making any excuse not to go to meetings, and I started having this... With what I live with, my wife starts telling me that I'm all right, you know, and I started saying to my sponsor, I'm not going to be doing meetings, and I wasn't really phoning him, and part of me was ready to just leave it all behind and just crack on with life. And I had to do a lot of soul searching, a lot of thinking, and it was like, why would I turn my back on saying, just give me this life? Because I've tried it on my own before and it doesn't work, you know. Left on my own to my devices, I'm in trouble. I really am. So I need to keep coming here, and I had to make a kind of commitment and have a talk with my sponsor about phoning him more often, up in my meeting attendance, and try and reinvigorate my recovery. And it was difficult, you know, but I've done it. You know, I've had to dig deep to do it, because I've got a disease, I've got an illness that doesn't want me in it, wants me out there. And I'd come to meetings and I think, I can't go there, they can't help me. And I'd use profanities and call you all names. And I'd go to a meeting in this frame of mind, and out of everything that was shared, I'd hold on to the one person that shared about their washing machine's broken. I'd leave the meeting thinking, I knew they can't help me, you know what I mean? And I'd have to dig deep and go back, and I started finding my sponsor a bit more, and I started up in my meetings and started doing a little bit more fellowship, things that I used to do when I first come about. I used to do a lot of fellowship, hang around a lot of coffee shops, go for meals, do a lot of meetings, had a lot of free time, and I started doing that again. And it has kind of reinvigorated my passion for this, you know. It's settled me down. I've become a lot more content again with my life, you know. But that's how this illness gets me. It tells me that I'm all right, and I can believe that. I can buy into that lie. You know, my mate's called it the con. And I can quite easily fall into that. And I've not forgot how bad it was. I used to know everything and forget. This time, I don't know everything, and I don't forget how bad it my using becomes. Every time I've relapsed, it's been worse. And it really has. And this time I remember how bad it was. And I can vividly picture it in my mind, you know, just sitting there, covered in blood, trying to get a vein, crying, scared that I'm going to lose the it, and terrified that I ain't going to get what I need to make myself feel better. And it's not a nice place to be, you know. I became a gyro junkie, I've lost the ability to earn money, I'd get money. Once a week, I'd blow it all in a day and I'd sit there holding tight, hoping that money would turn up from somewhere, because I would become too scared to go back out and get it, because I was sick and tired of going to prison, sick and tired of putting myself on offer. I always say I was in a place where I didn't want to live and I was too scared to kill myself. And I said this last time, I used to wake up every day, pull the quilt from over my head, see the light of day and just think, I can't do this. And it was horrendous. And luckily, I kind of done something about it. I knew the solution was here. And I made the decision that I was going to attend. And I went away to treatment. I come back and I did attend. And like I say, the first couple of years, I had nothing better to do than meetings. And and it was all right. I become comfortable attending. I become familiar with people. It was nice to come in. People knew my name, and I got commitments, and I got a sponsor. Like I said, he's still my sponsor today. You know, it's probably the longest relationship I've had with a man on a personal level that I've maintained, that I don't want nothing from. And that's been nearly 3 years now. He's been my sponsor, and he's never done me wrong. And when I was going through this point where I was thinking of turning my back on it, and I wasn't phoning him, and we had a discussion about it, and if you want sponsorship elsewhere, look for it elsewhere. And I wasn't looking for sponsorship elsewhere. You know, this man's never led me wrong. This man's always done right by me. He's took me through his steps. He's guided me. And I had to say to him, look, it ain't you. I ain't phoning you because he's you, and I don't want you to sponsor me. I ain't phoning you because he's me and my head. And I've phoned him a lot more now. But he sort of got me into doing commitments. He suggested I get into H&I. I've had a commitment in H&I for the past, I don't know, 2.5 years. And I go back into the detox where I got clean and carry the message. And I see people come into my home group on a Tuesday night that come out of that detox and they're staying clean. And I say to them, come over there, because I know I'm there and I'm doing what I say. I ain't in there saying I'll get some meetings and I ain't doing it. So they come there, they see me, and they regularly attend. And that gives me great pleasure, you know, to see people getting on and following the suggestions, which is what I've done. After many, many years of trying, you know. And it's given me a good life. It's given me, what did I say on the reading? It's given me a better perspective on life, you know. I've become responsible, accountable. Sometimes it shocks me. The other day I found out I've got to pay water rates, you know what I mean? I'm like, Jesus. And I don't like doing it. I think water comes from the sky, I'd have to pay for it, and I do, and it's quite expensive, isn't it? You know, I ain't tight, but I'll do it. I don't want to. I've just bought a TV licence. I've been kind of putting it off, but I keep getting these letters, and I'm scared that they're going to come round and I'm going to get a fine, and I don't want to pay the fine. So it's probably cheaper to get the telly licence, and it's took me a while to do it, but I've got to the point where I've done it, you know. I'm going to Thailand in 4 weeks. I'm going to visit the ANA convention while I'm out there. Me and my girlfriend discussed it, and we're going to have the day and go to Pattaya on the 12th of February and have the day out there. And I'm in this fellowship. I'm in that country at the time. I wasn't aware the convention was on, but it'd be a shame not to do it. You know, I've got the opportunity. I'm lucky enough to be clean and have the opportunity to travel. When I was using, I couldn't get out of Lewisham. I didn't need to get out of Lewisham. I could earn money. I could score drugs. I could sell stuff. And I had a squat to live in. Why would I want to go anywhere else? Coming here has opened my eyes, just given me the opportunity to do things that I've never really had the opportunity to do. And that's why I keep coming back. You know, if I do turn my back on this, I'll be stuck in Lewisham again. I'm under no illusion about that. You know. How long have I got left? I've got about a minute and a half. I'm running out of things to say, and I'm getting a bit self-conscious. I'm going to stop now. I'd say, if you know, stick about. Do you know what I mean? Just stick about, keep turning up, even when it gets hard. If you want something out of recovery, you have to put something in. You know, even when you don't want to. When it gets hard, you have to step it up. That's my experience. I can only speak for myself personally. I've got friends out there. My girlfriend's brother's gone back out there. He was clean. You know, when he says to me, what do you suggest? I just say to him, get to meetings. I can't say anything else. I ain't got the answers. This is the only thing that's ever worked for me. I'll leave it there. Thanks for listening.